This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. This is your host, Tim Link, and I'm so glad you're joining us today. Got a super fun, interesting training dog bark bark show going on for you here. We got author Sylvie Savage coming on, talked about her latest book, Unleash: How to Evolve from Dog Training to Dog Parenting. So I love that. I love that because we all consider ourselves dog parents. If you're from overseas, they roll their eyes when we say that. But here in good old USA and North America, we are all dog parents. So we're going to talk to Sylvie a little bit about the book, talk to her about what really makes a dog parent. So how do you go from training to actually parenting? And then, of course, we'll talk to her a little bit about her writing styles, how she goes about crafting her work. So it's going to be a super fun show. We're going to learn a lot. Everybody hang tight. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Joining us now is author Sylvie Savage. Talk to her about her latest book, Unleash: How to Evolve from Dog Training to Dog Parenting. Sylvie, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Tim. Thanks for having me.
We're super excited to have you on board because I'm always interested about training techniques with our animals, how you communicate with them, how do you get them to do what you need them to do, but more importantly, how do we really form that deeper bond with them? How do we understand what their needs are, not just ours, and how do we form that great relationship? And your book, Unleash, definitely covers that.
Yeah. I mean, I wrote the book because one of the issues that I was facing or the challenges I was facing with families and people who love dogs is that they were really struggling, one, to feel empowered because the pet industry is quite complex. And if you don't do this, there's going to be a problem. Oh, no. But if you don't do that, there's going to be a problem. And then we don't really identify with our values and how we want to parent our dogs. And so that's not even a question we ask ourselves. And we're bombarded with the societal expectation of dogs need to behave and you should do this and you should do that. But really, no one asks the question, what is behavior and can you train it? And so this is where I thought, you know, for me to uncover and define all my research and my experiences and my own personal experiences, especially that really drove this, I thought, why don't I write a book so that I can really solidify this concept of not training, but self, individuality, respect, and equality with a dog? How do you do that? Because the whole world is about training your dog to behave the way they're supposed to. So there were like two issues I was having is giving the pet parents a perspective of themselves and what it is they embody, but also helping them to identify the individuality and the soul of their dog. And that's how this book came to be.
Nice. I like that. You know, and you're absolutely correct. You know, I've worked with a lot of trainers and have a lot of trainers as friends. And it oftentimes comes down to two areas. You're either a pack leader type of training or you are the positive trainer. But rarely is it bridged together saying, okay, whether I believe one route or the other is the best, which positively is always better for me, but that's a side note. How do you then blend that into your own personality with your animal? How do you blend their personality with you? How do you get them to understand your household and your lifestyle and everything, and in return, understand what their needs are? Because, you know, parenting, there's no, you know, whether we're talking about dogs or kids, there's no definitive answer. There's plenty of books, but there's no definitive answer on how to do that. And especially with dogs, there's very little out there that will guide us into saying, okay, you know, here's some thoughts and ideas about it, but at the end of the day, it is, you know, it's your parenting, so you have to do it.
Yeah, exactly. And I did find that even if books give you direction about like the resources of why positive reinforcement is important, there was never really a book that I could find that really I worked on your own personal potential dysregulation or awareness of what it is you're doing and why you're doing it, and becoming 100% responsible for that relationship. Because we're so used to our dogs behaving the way we want them to. And I mean, we do this to kids too, right? We don't want them to misbehave. And so we discipline them in a way that forces them to behave the way we want them to. And we have the same kind of philosophy with dogs, more so. And if you don't know your dog and you don't know who they are and what their aspirations are and what they want for themselves, which is hard to do really, because this is a completely different species, where does training fit in there? Like, why is training the number one thing to do? If you don't quite register the fact that you don't really know who your dog is, first things first.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to get to know your dog. You know, it's always amazing to me, you know, even to this date, I've been working with animals for many, many moons. And oftentimes people will get a new dog, whether it's a puppy or a rescue dog or just a dog in the household. And they assume the dog knows what to do. And the dog will follow everything that they say. But when it comes down to it, it's really a matter of you understanding your dog and having them understand you, and then coming to some sort of a common way of having a great life together.
Yeah, because dogs are really motivated to understand us. So that's never going to be an issue. But are we so motivated to understand them so that we can actually help them have a fantastic life? And, you know, one of the things I've recognized, even with myself and my children and my upbringing, is that when an individual is actually heard and seen and understood, all this behavior that we're talking about, like bad behavior, it kind of like settles itself, because that individual is able to be who they are and identify with what it is they love. And if you feel good, well, you're not acting out in some weird, bizarre way that isn't appropriate. Dogs are very appropriate. They're extremely kind and gentle. They take our guidance very easily. But when it's forced upon them without any regard for who they are, it becomes a hindrance on their person, but also, or their dog and dog person, but also on your relationship. Yeah. So how do you parent a dog without training them?
Yeah, absolutely. And then one of the things you talked about in your book is sort of the relationship, not only with your animal, but then what are societal expectations? You know, because, you know, I could work with my animal and have a great relationship at home, and I may take them out and think what I've done will fit into whatever all the other neighbors are doing. And then I find out, no, that's not the case. Or sometimes I don't even take my dog out and about with the other neighbors when there's dogs around, because I don't know how they've trained them. I don't know if, I still remember the story of, I had two schnauzers. One was the center of attention, so she got upset if you didn't give her attention. The other guy, he got upset if you did give him attention. And so we took them both to one of the local parks, not one of the dog parks, just a regular park. And of course, we had them unleashed like you're supposed to do, you know, and you know, that's the law, that's the training. And a lady just lets her dog out of the car, and a dog comes running up like crazy. And we're like, whoa, stay, stop. She's like, oh, you know, he's okay. You know, he's very friendly. And I'm like, my other dog is not that friendly. And the lady's face turned stark white, came running for her dog, trying to grab her leash and everything, because she just assumed what she thought was acceptable, that she had done the training and her dog does great with people, that it would get along fine with every other person, every other dog out there. And that's not the case.
No, I think like what we're talking about is really values. So we all have different values. And especially now in society, we're really witnessing what happens when there's a lack of respect within those values, right? So what I mean by respect is knowing what it is that you believe in, but not feeling a need to force or change someone else, but just accepting that and working within that reality. And when it comes to dogs, like, not many of us really know how to do that because it's such a, like you said, this dog's running towards your dog and like there's not like a control factor of like there's a fence or anything, which is why we all want to put leashes on our dogs. Not that I want to, but it's part of societal expectations. But also like understanding how to set boundaries with others is a very difficult thing in society right now too, because people get angry. So when you have a dog, you have to set boundaries for your dog, yourself, and others. And knowing how to do that is such a big part of parenting, especially with all the social pressure of you're doing it wrong or do it my way, or like the imposing that happens in society is remarkable. And, you know, identifying with your values and then knowing how to set those boundaries respectfully is a really important part of my work.
Yeah. And I love the fact that, you know, you really go into detail, you know, a real parallel for me for having kids in your life, you know, but also is really a parallel for relationships as well, because each person in the household has their own unique personality, their own way of going about doing things, their own unique characteristics. And if you're going to have a, whether it's a dog or any other animal in the household, you all have to understand that. And if you're not expecting your animals to understand that, or you to understand what your animals' needs are, you can't have that nice flow within the household.
No. And this is where sometimes people look to training to create that reality without actually identifying what you've just mentioned, individuality and different likes and dislikes and all those types of things. So yeah, I think it's important to consider child psychology, especially young child psychology when we're looking at our dogs, because, you know, dogs have the emotional and intelligence of a toddler. And so when you start to think about a toddler who's reacting to you because they're unhappy or they're hungry or who knows, right? And you're then triggered, you just want them to stop acting that way. Well, you wouldn't impose that on them. You wouldn't be like, you know, get your act together and you know like you're bothering me right now. You would consider them before yourself. And when it comes to dogs, I think like there's these taboos like, oh, you're not a dog parent, or that's so silly, or but it's not. These are sentient beings who rely on you 100%. They're never going to move out, you know, just like our children. They didn't choose us, right? And we're responsible for that. And you know, I really do feel like the world is changing when it comes to dogs. Like I'm not the only one seeing these things. Like I know you've had other authors on your show seeing things like that. And it's such a wonderful experience to hear these things.
Yeah, absolutely. So when people pick up the book, Unleash, the feedback that you've been getting, has it been, oh, I thought this was just another dog training book, or wow, this really got in sort of the psyche of my dog, which helped me better understand them? Or what's been sort of the take on this new, I wouldn't say it's a new approach, but it's your unique approach to all this. It's more of a, hey, the training will come. It's the understanding that's most important.
Yeah, like setting your perspective. I think what's been the most phenomenal thing I've heard that I keep hearing is I feel so validated.
Oh, nice.
And yeah. I wrote the book wanting to validate and not to, you know, push people away and make them feel good about themselves and the choices they make, even if it's mistakes. I mean, I share in the book the mistakes I've made, and there's plenty. And I'm so grateful that people say, I feel so validated, even though I'm saying hard things in the book. And that's been one of the most rewarding, because I know if they feel validated, they feel happy, and they're going to return the favor to their dogs because they understand what empowerment is.
That's nice. That's nice. And perhaps our dogs feel the same way if they feel validated, right?
Of course.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll come back and continue our conversation with Sylvie Savage about her book, Unleash. And I want to pick her brain about her writing craft, how she goes about doing all that. So everybody hang tight. We'll come back right for this commercial break. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Hi, this is Tim Link, animal communicator and pet expert, and host of Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Have you ever wanted to know what your pet is really thinking? Do you want to find out if they truly understand what you're trying to tell them? Ever wish you could build a better understanding and closer relationship with your pet? Well, now you can. Learning to Communicate with Animals is a 4-part on-demand workshop. In the workshop, you'll learn the essential techniques that are necessary to communicate with animals, including what is animal communication, breathing correctly to achieve the perfect state to communicate with your animals at a deeper level, using guided meditation exercises and method to communicate with animals, and how to send and receive information from your animals. So if you're wanting to learn how to communicate and connect with your animals at a deeper level, visit petliferadio.com/workshop and purchase and download Learning to Communicate with Animals. You'll be glad you did.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Continue our conversation with author, human-canine relationship specialist, love that, and entrepreneur Sylvie Savage. Sylvie, the book, Unleash, when people pick up a copy of the book and they read through it, was there a message you were hoping to relay when you first wrote it? And then has that shifted or changed since the book's been out?
Oh, geez. I think that it's been fairly accurate, the responses based on what I wrote. I mean, I took 3 years to write it. And I also, you know, spent a decade like researching and thinking about different ways of being with our dogs. So I think ideally, I just wanted people to feel a certain sense of self and identify that reality with their dogs, and then just find new ways of dealing with their dogs that isn't just direct to training. And you know, I think most people feel really empowered and good about the book after they've read it, you know, and I'm happy about that.
Yay. That's it. That's it. Well, I love that. And I always ask that question because, you know, I want to know from the author what the message is, what makes you feel good. It's like, they got it. Thumbs up. Paws up. I'm in good shape here. And then sometimes it does shift. You know, your message gets out there, but then people say stuff that, you'll give you feedback that's like, I had no idea that that would have that kind of impact on them.
I'm grateful for any feedback, quite frankly, because like, you know, when you're writing a book, you're writing it with the reader's perspective in mind. And sometimes it's hard to do that because you have your own ideas and, you know, you're thinking about this 24/7. And yeah, for me, like it was really a nice process to do so that I can really clarify in like my fundamentals of what I believe in. But I didn't want to make it so that other people, if they believed in something different, they would be like offended or hurt or anything like that. I was super careful and very sensitive to that reality, just because, as I mentioned, like the industry is so opposing already, and I didn't want anyone picking up the book and being like, well, what is this crap or whatever, right? I just wanted people to feel good no matter where they were at.
Yeah. Well, and you did a great job with the book. I mean, the thing I love about so much of the book is the fact that the perspective, you know, it's a lot in what I believe in as well. I think each animal is unique and has their own personality. And it's up to us as their human companions to best understand what their wants and needs are. And then we can worry about getting them to understand what we need in order to have a perfect household or as close as possible to being as perfect as a household. And I think you did a great job in the book of that. And, you know, it gives you one more tool that's not just specifically training. It's how do you build that relationship? And your book Unleashed does a great job with that.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah.
One of the things that really helped me write the book is that I've had to have my own life sort of pulled together. I had some mental health challenges. I had physical health issues as well. And, you know, you go along in the world and you try to like do well and you live up to societal expectations so that you're successful and people think you're successful. And, you know, as you start to get older, you start to realize, well, I don't know if I'm doing that well. And I had to learn a lot about communication and emotions and feelings. And because I didn't actually realize, I didn't know what emotions were till I was like 50, I had to really learn about them in my own body. And so somatic therapy therapy was a big part of my healing. And when you don't know what emotions feel like or what they are, like I literally had no sensation below my neck about emotions. I was like, who needs that? Too many problems comes with emotions and feelings. And so because of that, I was really able to define a new perspective with dogs and how they feel. And so in the middle of the book, in the second part of the book, I spend quite a bit of time explaining what emotions are and what feelings are and how they actually feel in your body because of that, because I actually had to learn that. And if I had to learn it, so many other people probably need to learn it, or maybe even just have an idea of like, what do you mean it's in the body? Like I had no idea. And then like understanding what feelings are and what is stress and like, what does emotion mean and what does it look like? And so those parts of the book were a really important part of my healing as well. Nice. As I was writing it, I was doing even more research and, you know, I was going through therapy through part of the writing of my book. And I was, you know, learning a lot about myself, but it really all applies to my work, all of it. And so I'm happy that you said that because it's important to me.
Oh, you did great there. Well, you're doing fantastic. And yes, our animals have the same emotions and everything that we do and the challenges. We just have to help them better understand it and help realize that and have a great life with them. So I think it's a perfect thing. So let's talk about the writing itself. We're talking about this book or just writing. Obviously, it has an ability to help you get your words on paper. It helps you release and learn all these things. But how did you go about crafting this? Because you said it took you 3 years. Obviously, we got to put together the book. We got to do some research. We got to do some sketches. We got to do some design work. But more importantly, how does that process work for you? Are you one of those that get up at 5 o'clock every morning and need to write for an hour, or are you hopefully not like me, wait till the last minute and then get it out the door?
What I found the pattern was is that I would spend time in the morning just doing nothing, just thinking about my purpose and my passion and just, you know, spending some time with myself and what is it I'm doing and just refocusing on what is my purpose in life at this time. And with that, it would automatically get to a place where I wanted to write. I'd been thinking about it. And, you know, sometimes it would take 10 minutes, sometimes 2 hours. And I have the luxury of doing that most of the time. So I was very lucky that I could get up, have coffee, and just ponder. And once I would get to that place where I have to work now. I don't want to sit here anymore. I'm done with this. That's when I would start working. And it was usually 3-4 days a week. And I would just write and write and write. And I did structure it originally. Like I basically wrote everything down I know, like everything I know about dogs and relationships and everything. And then I grouped them all. And then I started picking chapters, like, you know, like what chapters is going to go into. And then I kind of knew the scope of what I wanted to share. And then I just wrote. It took me a year to write the first draft. And I think the biggest thing that helped me as a writer is that I actually knew I was going to hire a structural editor. So it didn't matter if it wasn't great because it wasn't going to go out. So I didn't have that pressure of perfection. I just had the passion of doing it. And once it went to my editor, I did 9 drafts of that, like 9 edits of that book until it got to the place it is now. Right. But like that was just my rhythm. I would just do what inspired me. And then if I got to places that were really hard where I was like, I don't even know what my name is. What am I doing? I would actually have this little thing where I would just try to get it through, like just get to the other side of the concept or the idea, even if it was crap. And then the next day when I would come back, it would make so much more sense. I'd be like, oh, I know what I'm trying to say. And then it would just flow so much easier. And that was kind of my process.
Nice. I like that. And the editing, I mean, that makes a lot of sense, truthfully. I mean, your idea maybe was get it on paper, then get the editor and let them do it. Because editing along the way is, I've always found to be a challenge. And you know, a lot of times there's no right or wrong answer. to this, but you know, oftentimes they say, well, don't even look at what you're typing, you know, put it all down. Don't try to make autocorrects. Don't try to edit along the way. And I find that impossible to begin with, because even knowing that an editor is going to find mistakes big time, it doesn't matter. So I like the fact that you went when the epiphany hit you, when it hit you, you wrote for as long as you wanted to or could do, or till you got to the sticking point. And then you left it alone and then let the universe come back the next day and say, okay. Yeah. And you're like, oh, yeah, no, that's the answer. That's what I wanted.
Yeah. And sometimes it was 2 weeks too. It wasn't one day, right? Sometimes it was like, ah, I'm really don't want to do this. So I think I just waited to feel inspired to do it instead of forcing it. And I think that actual, it's almost like a weird discipline. It's like you're training yourself to enjoy something that, you know, is difficult. So it was like a mind game in a way, and it worked for me. And I love writing. This is my first book and I love it. Like I write all the time now. Like I'm launching a new book. Like I love it so much.
Nice. And it is a great outlet, you know, and I love the fact, you know, I always say with writing, it doesn't really matter what you're writing as long as you're writing, you know, you're putting your ideas, thoughts. I'm a big storyteller. So, you know, I'm always putting stories out there, whether you like to hear them or not. And which reminds me, I apologize to the last house guest we had for dinner because I realized I dominated the whole conversation telling stories about my past. Oh my God, it happens as you get older.
That's never happened to me, Tim. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Goodness. Well, Sylvie, tell us a little bit about how people can find out more about the book Unleash and what you've got going on. Keep track of your writing and looking forward to the next book.
You can find everything on sylviesavage.com. My book is on Amazon and everywhere, like everywhere Amazon ships, it's there. And I'm actually building an empowerment academy, empowerment with the PAW.
Nice. Empowerment academy. Empowerment. Nice.
And the whole academy is just going to be based on concepts from Unleash, but also there's just going to be a tremendous amount of workbooks and free PDFs and videos and things like that so that people can take little bite-sized chunks of these concepts in ways in which we can get to know ourselves and our dogs better. So instead of make it one big lump sum, I'm going to be creating a whole bunch of little books that people can really just focus on one thing. So that's happening now. So that should be launching in the next month or so. But that's everything that you want to know would be on my website, sylviesavage.com.
Absolutely. Well, everybody, definitely visit the website. Keep track of that. That's going to be a lot of fun for sure. And definitely pick up a copy of the book. It's Unleash, How to Evolve from Dog Training to Dog Parenting from Sylvie Savage. Sylvie, thanks so much for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. I love the book. Love what you've done with it. And I look forward to keeping track of all the other wonderful stuff you got going on.
Amazing. Thanks so much, Tim. I really enjoyed our time together.
Absolutely. Well, we're coming to the end of the show today. I want to thank everyone for listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. I want to thank the producers and sponsors for making this show possible. If you have any questions, comments, ideas for the show or any of the other shows, you can go to PetLifeRadio.com and we'll definitely answer your questions, entertain your comments, and bring on the people you want to hear from most. And while you're there, check out all the other wonderful shows and hosts. It's a cornucopia of barking, purring, meowing. I don't know what other sounds there are. It's a great place. Go to PetLifeRadio.com. So until next time, write a great story about the animals in your life, and who knows, you may be the next guest on Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Have a great day.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.